So, it's midnight. It's dark. Everyone's asleep. Even the dog is snoring at my feet. The fire is on, but it's quiet. And so now is the perfect moment to record podcast number 3. Hi, I'm Paul Wilkinson from MasteringPortraitPhotography.com, and in this late night, nocturnal, everybody else is asleep kind of podcast, I wanted to talk about one particular image. An awful lot of this website is going to be dedicated to dissecting images and talking about why we do things, and hopefully that'll be useful so that you can get an insight into how different people approach the situation of creating portraits, how different subjects react to it, different finishes, different processes, different production. This particular image is of an absolutely lovely guy called Bruno. And in fact, although this is a shot of a guy on his own, the original intent was to have a composite shot of him and his brother. His mum had brought his brother in about 5 or 6 weeks previous to this particular image. But for whatever reason, I think Bruno was working abroad. He couldn't be there at the same time. And so I'd marked up on a studio diagram how I'd taken the original shots of his brother. And the intention was to bring the two of them together and create a single image. Something actually we did do, and it was very effective. But this particular image stands up on its own. So that's what we're going to talk about. And if I get a chance, check the notes below and maybe I'll post the image of the two, the composite image of the two of them. So Bruno had turned up to come and have his studio session, and he's an absolutely charming guy, really good looking, really smart, really switched on, great to work with. And we'd spent probably a couple of hours, I think, messing around. My shoots are not particularly short. It's something I'm under some pressure with, simply because with the amount of work we do in the studio now, it's increasingly tricky to be able to hang on to having these really long shoots. But with Bruno, it had been a summer's day. It was warm. The light was great. So I'd spent, I think, an hour and a half maybe outside. And it was only really towards the end of the session, we worked our way inside to create the other half of the composite image that his mum so dearly wanted of her two beautiful boys together. The image is a simple standing portrait. It's a three-quarter view of him where he's looking facing, or his body rather, is facing mostly to the right of the picture as you look at it. He's looking directly at camera and the light source is from the left as you look at it. So let's go through the bits and pieces. The lighting is a 1 meter square softbox. At that particular time, I was using Elinchrom lights and boxes, beautiful box. Still, even though I've switched to Profoto now, I still think the Elinchrom Rotolux boxes are some of the best in the business. The light quality that comes off them is simply gorgeous. I'm using it in the studio here with no grid on it, and that's quite important. So in the background is black paper. But I didn't want the shot to be against inky black. If I wanted it to be against inky black, I would use a softbox with a grid and I would use black velvet rather than paper, because paper is shiny. That's a great thing about paper, is actually it has a sheen to it. It reflects some light. So if you angle the light correctly, or intentionally correctly in this case, you can get some light back off it. And I didn't want the background to be black. I wanted it to be dark, but I wanted there to be some tone. And so what I've done is I've set the softbox up so that it's created beautiful catch lights in Bruno's eyes. It's more or less a split light, so it's lighting half of his face more than the other, but there's that triangle of light, so reminiscent of Rembrandt's work on his right cheek as we look at the image. His hair is shiny because it's a little bit gelled, so that was reflecting light back to the camera as well. And the light is spilling out around my studio and is also striking the background, which has some tone in it. If you have a big studio, this is a little bit more tricky, but you can use big reflector panels, whether they're big foam boards, or whether in my case we use old doors that are painted white that stand up around the studio if I need them. But I wanted a little bit of that white. And if you look at the right-hand side of this image, if you look at his cheek, there's ever such a small amount of light being reflected back from our studio walls. The studio walls are painted white and he was really close to them. So I don't need to use studio flats or reflector boards here. I can simply use the studio walls. His jacket, because it's leather and it's got a semi-sheen to it, you find that actually it stays fairly dark except where you get specular highlights. So except it's where you get actual reflections of light. If you had a matte jacket, this would render slightly differently, but with a semi-gloss jacket, you only get light where it strikes at a reflective angle. And that means the jacket, although it's held its detail, hasn't blown out in any, there aren't any major white points, so that his face is still the lightest point of the image. And that's really important. That's where your eye goes. So if you can keep the rest of the clothing very dark and subdued, the viewer will always go straight to the face. He's got his collar turned up. I do like a nice strong collar. It somehow adds to the moodiness of the image. Don't ask me why. I'm sure there's a psychologist out there who will tell you. It just looks great. And I've asked Bruno just to stand there and put his hands in his pockets. And the only reason I've asked him to do that is because when he came into the studio, that's essentially how he stood, with his hands in his pockets. And I'm a big fan of posing people without actually posing them. All I'm really doing is asking them to stand as they would normally stand, which works really, really well, particularly in this instance. One of the great things about Bruno is when you say look at the camera, he could lock his gaze and he just looked through the lens, straight through it. Fantastic eye contact. And that's not something everybody can do. But the eye contact in this image is absolutely phenomenal. And you can only do this with a guy if you've built up a sort of a relationship with them. You need to have some trust in there. Because he has to be looking at the lens without any doubt whatsoever in his eyes, so that the viewer, when they engage with the image, they feel that he's looking at them. They don't feel that he's nervous or uncomfortable. They just feel like they could be in the middle of a conversation with him. And that's how I like my portraits to be. Really strong eye contact, really beautifully lit, very simple, posed without really posing them, but clearly with a guy who's comfortable, chilled out and looking absolutely brilliant. The finish on the image is a black and white. Nearly all of our black and whites like this are finished using Nick Silver FX Pro 2, which is simply, in my opinion, the best black and white converter on the market and has been for a number of years, which is just as well, given it hasn't been updated for a number of years, thanks to Google's purchase of Nick software, which is a travesty in my opinion. However, some good news is that the guys behind DX Optics Pro have bought the rights to the software, and watch this space. At some point, they are going to release some updates. Admittedly, they're bound to be expensive, but I don't care, because this thing is just the best black and white converter there is. So I've done a fairly standard conversion using Nick Silver FX. A little bit of structure in there, looking at the slight contrast levels around the edges. And then once it's come back as a new layer in Photoshop, I've added some warm tone into the mids. If you look at this image, it has just a little bit of warmth in the mids, not the dark, not the blacks and not the highlights, just in the mids. And at some other point, I will post a walkthrough on how to do that. It's as simple as you like, but it's incredibly effective. There is a very slight and gentle vignette on the image, not much, just enough to darken it down, particularly in the lower half where his hands hit his pockets. It's shot at 85mm on my trusty 70-200. This is my 70-200 is a workhorse of a lens. I always feel very guilty when I'm doing presentations and have all the tech details up, because although I switch cameras quite a lot, I very rarely switch the lens. It's a 70-200 Nikon VR2 f2.8, and before that I had the VR1 version of it. Haven't yet managed to justify the VR3, though I hear great things. It's at 85mm f11, so it's working well inside its sweet spot. Just phenomenal, phenomenal lens. Not much distortion and great contrast and sharpness. 250th a second, which is the flash sync speed on my Nikons, and ISO 100. And I've just set the flash power on the Alenchrom to, I guess I haven't got a record of it, but I'm guessing it's around 8. It's an FX400, and I would think at F11 that's about an 8. Maybe a little bit lower, but probably not very much. And that's how it's lit, ever so simple. And just how I like it. And on that happy note, it is finally time for me to crash out, just like the dog who is snoring beside me in front of an open roaring fire. there. He's just as happy as, well, a dog in his bed, I suppose. There isn't a better saying than that. So until next time, just remember, stay positive, stay happy, be kind to yourself. Tomorrow is always another day for creating images. Take care.